This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 33 and the top transfer targets. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout writer Mark to select the best options. Mark, welcome. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, not too bad, thanks. It's been a nice week of just no midweek deadlines, just building up nicely for the weekend. How have you been?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I was away last week, so that was good. But I've come back to a cold. But I've soldiered on despite having man flu, because as all men know, when we get colds, it's much worse. But it's even worse, I've heard, than actually giving birth, having a cold. So
that's science, isn't it?
It's science. That's science. So I've soldiered on. Just a reminder, do press the like button if you, not necessarily if you like what I've just said, but if you just like our videos in general. And also do remember to subscribe so you keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Going to have a look at the fixtures now, just to see the sorts of matchups that might influence our thoughts. Starts off with Newcastle against Spurs. You as a Newcastle fan, I'm expecting goals in this match. I'm sure you too are too.
Lords, yeah. Similar to that Newcastle West Ham 4-3 the other week. You could predict that was going to be goals. It was goals. Expect the same again. No more of this Dubravka clean sheet.
Yeah, those days are gone. Although I might get Dubravka back on a wild card in 35. Because Newcastle have two fixtures. Fool me once, fool me twice, and being caught out again, I suspect. But another matchup, Brentford against Sheffield United. I like this one, particularly if you're looking to get in a one-week punt. Perhaps you're going to free hit and then wild card. Or indeed, Brentford are top of the season ticker for the rest of the season. So Brentford assets could be good this week as well. Burnley against Brighton is less of an interest to us FPL-wise. Man City at home to Luton, that sounds good. Nottingham Forest Wolves, tough to call, but could be goals. Bournemouth against Manchester United. Liverpool at home to Crystal Palace. That looks good. West Ham against Fulham. Arsenal against Aston Villa. I'll just stop there as well because Aston Villa have been poor defensive form recently. So that could be good for Arsenal assets.
Yes, yeah. Sort of Arsenal at both ends of the pitch have been brilliant recently. So when you see that Villa sort of conceded 3 to Brentford, 4 to Man City, it seems like a good time to be going against the Villa back line.
Definitely. And finally, Chelsea against Everton. Now, Palmer got a 20-minute rest. That's all he needs last time out. So, I'm for my own team, I've got the armband, the captaincy on Haaland at the moment. But realistically, I really should put him on Palmer, I think, because he's got a great track record against weaker teams. And he'll definitely start, he'll definitely play. Whereas I'm not 100% sure Haaland will. I don't know if you're thinking the same.
Yeah, it sort of depends on what murmurs we get for the deadline, because automatically it would be Haaland. But if we hear anything, it then becomes either Palmer or Salah. And as you say, like, Chelsea rely on Palmer and that sort of talismanic status and penalties as well. Salah's also on penalties, but yeah, I think Palmer's a good option.
Yep. Okay, let's go into defenders. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the top three picks amongst defenders, top three midfielders, top three forwards. So we're going to ignore goalkeepers. We're just going to go for outfield players this time around, because can't be bothered. But the other reason is, the main reason is because people rarely make goalkeeper changes, usually when it's a chip involved, perhaps they're wild carding, or they're, you know, run out of goalkeepers, they're both injured. But I don't think that's the case this time around. So let's go with the defenders first. And these are our top three picks. And I'll get you to sort of fill in a bit more information about them. So I'll just read out the sort of stats that you can easily get from the FPL site. Gabriel is top. I'm not messing around here. Gabriel is the top defender for the top side. I know Ben White, I think, may have more points, but Gabriel has goal threat. Obviously, he gets the clean sheets, and the Arsenal defence is the best at the moment. He's priced 5.4 million. His points per match is 4.2, which is pretty good. He's in well over a quarter of teams, in 27.5% of teams overall. And his next match is Aston Villa, who have been leaky at the back as well. Gabriel is probably not a surprise to pick him, but I can't see me not picking him for several weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's form over fixture for sure, because Aston Villa, of course, the top side, probably going to get a Champions League spot, but it's just the fact that Arsenal is so imperious right now in defence. Like, 6 clean sheets in 8, and they've only conceded 3 big chances in that time. And we know about Gabriel's goal-scoring threat, the most headed chances of all defenders. So it both ends of the pitch. He has kind of proven himself.
Yeah.
And I sort of back Arsenal to do their bit this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, over the last 6 matches, the Arsenal defence is the best. They've conceded just 3.26 expected goals. So only expected to concede 3 over the last 6 matches. I don't think they've even done that. I'm not sure. But they've certainly, with those clean sheets, over that period, it's been quite something. No let up there. I think Arsenal, don't mess around, just get Gabriel if you haven't got him already, which of course almost 3/4 of the game don't have him. Gusto is next. Missed out last time, but it would seem to be for illness. I still think he's probably the best route, certainly the best value in the Chelsea defence. And they've got their matchup is against Everton at home, so could get a clean sheet. But there's certainly assist potential there. His points per match is 2.5. He's in a 1 in 10 teams. And as I said, he's got Everton up next. But yeah, Gusto, certainly a player I'm going to be considering on a wild card when I wild card in 35. But I think if I was making a move now, I think he is the Chelsea defender to get, but yeah.
Yeah, if there is a defender to get it from Chelsea, it would be him. There's a slightly distant Reece James threat, but it's hard to ever say what his situation is, really. So until we hear otherwise, it's probably worth going for him. Chelsea aren't keeping many clean sheets, though, in fairness. Like, we thought they would against Burnley the other week, and 2-2, so, and Sheffield United as well. So I think it's the Blades. I think only Sheffield United have had fewer clean sheets since the end of game week 7.
Okay.
They kept a few in the early weeks, Chelsea, but not many since. So for Gusto, it kind of is about his attacking potential and his assists and the value he provides. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is, as often happens, you know, he scored one goal to end the drought, and then he scored straight after as well. So, you know, he could make it 3-3.
Could be. But it's that assist potential, hopefully, going for. Over the last 6 matches, no defenders created more than his 16 chances, which is pretty impressive. That's over the last 6 matches they played. And he's assisted twice over that period as well. So I do think he has got stronger assist potential there. Next one is Reguilón. I don't have a picture of Reguilón, but I do have a Brentford badge to put on there. Got a couple of assists last time out. Priced 4.4 million. Another bargain. He's only 1.7% of teams. Absolute differential. His points per match is 2.5. So not as strong as, say, Gabriel. But matching gusto. And he's got that assist potential. And I think with Sheffield United at home, he has got strong clean sheet potential as well. Reguilón, yeah. Is he a player, if you were making a defensive move this week, you would consider?
Yeah, is it safe to mention him yet, really, after what happened in blank 29? Still a bit scarred from that. Mm. But if you're a manager who can quickly put it behind you and move on and look at the fact that he got those assists last week, yeah, it's a really good fixture. And, you know, every time he starts with Brentford, he either sort of assists or scores negative points. It's like the new Luca Dean, probably, or something like that, you know. Which probably isn't an honour to give him. Yeah, it's a good game to have, and he comes in at a decent price as well. Yeah. Kind of expect something from him.
Yep, 5 assists in his last 9 runouts. That says to me, assist potential. This is the theme here. I'm assuming no one's going to get a clean sheet apart from Arsenal, and even they might be tricky. So I'm just looking for goals and assists from defenders, which are quite hard to predict. Easier to predict for midfielders, though. So let's move on to them. A couple of no surprises and a surprise. So let's start with the no surprise first. Salah. He's 13.4 million. He's gone up about 0.3 since I last put him in these picks about 3 weeks ago. His points per match 7.4. That's huge. He's in, understandably, a lot of teams. He's in 37.5% of teams overall, in far more teams amongst gauge managers, wherever you are in the ranks at the moment. He's got a home game against Crystal Palace as well. I mean, I know against Brighton, he racked up a lot of shots and didn't quite get the return. Same last match as well. Did get a penalty, but I think owners could feel a bit unlucky he didn't get more. But nevertheless, I don't think he's been particularly underperforming. I still think he's a really strong asset. And you mentioned him earlier as well as a captaincy candidate as well this week.
Yes, yeah. He's there's almost a safetiness with an elite asset like Salah. You know, give him a home game, one where Liverpool need to win and one where goal difference is important in such a title race. It's just given him permission to run riot if he wants to. As you say, like that Brighton match, it was his personal record for Premier League shots in a match. And then he blanked against Sheffield United because that's how FPL works.
Yeah.
I think it's just the newly promoted sides in general this season. I think he's blanked against all of them. So, but Palace aren't one.
No.
They aren't a promoted side. And yeah, we know what he's like. Spot kicks, all potential. It would be brave to go without him.
Definitely. For me, it's really the captaincy. Over his last 6 matches, he's got 7 attacking returns. Only marginally underperforming. His XGI over that period, his expected goal involvement, is actually just over 8. So it's not too bad there. He faces Palace, has conceded 10 times in the last 6 runouts. I think should be captaining him, really. Palmer, another player in the contention, 6.1 million, still so cheap. I think he was 4.9 at some point, 4.8. His points per match, 6.7, strong again. Understandably, he's in 45.6% of teams, pretty much 100% of teams near where I am in the rankings and probably where most people are amongst engaged managers. And he's got Everton at home. I mentioned before about the captaincy, really. I've got the captaincy on Haaland at the moment, but obviously you don't own any of these players, get them in. That's the whole point of this. But it's also the captaincy as well. I'm really tempted.
Yeah. I made the mistake of captaining him last week when I had the sort of new good instinct that Salah might have been the one. Because Palmer had entered that match on the back of like 3 successive double digits.
Yeah.
So the way my mind works sometimes, I think, well, that can't be sustainable. And sure enough, he got just an assist.
Yeah.
weeks. So, but in general, 10 goals, 6 assists in 11 matches. That's ludicrous. But any price, never mind his. Mostly due to penalties, yes. But does that probably mean Chelsea get a lot of penalties? Mm. In which case, he's always an option for the armband.
Yeah, indeed. 26 attacking returns this season. Absolutely huge for that price. He's one of the... I mean, I say that FPL got it wrong. They didn't really get it wrong because he was priced up when he was a Man City player that was barely going to start. And so they didn't know he was going to move to Chelsea and then start every match. But if we'd have known that, obviously he would be somewhere around the 8 million mark. And I'm sure he's going to be 8 to 8, could even be higher, 8.5 even next season. Next name is Brian Mbeumo. Got into scoring ways again last week. His price is 6.7 million, points per match 5.1. That is pretty huge for a Brentford player. He's only in 6.2% teams, a real differential, and he's got that match against Sheffield United. Back after injury, a great run of fixtures. I think Brentford will be targeting wins in all of these fixtures coming up. If I was going for like a 1 week punt or looking just for a player that's, you know, potentially reliable for the duration, Brian Mbeumo would probably be the one in midfield for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really enjoyed owning him in the first part of the season, like from game week one. It was a pleasure to own. He had so many goals and assists, like straight out of the block. And then by the time of his injury, he was one of the best for attacking returns. And he was still way under his XGI. Yeah. Which was like the third best overall, like behind the big guns. So, yeah, and now that he's back and a differential again, he's just a brilliant option. And certainly if you're thinking with just short-term punts in mind, absolutely. What holds him back is the lack of doubles, but the strength of the singles could outdo that.
Yes, indeed. I think we should move on to forwards next. And we've got another Brentford player in there, but we'll come to him in a second. So we've got a Brentford triple up in our targets. Let's go for the obvious pick first, Haaland. If we get wind, he's going to start. He's got to be the best captaincy in a massive 71.8% of all teams. Absolutely all the teams around you, wherever you are in the rankings, will have that. 6.6 points per match. He's 14.3 million and he's at home to Luton, who he scored five attacking returns against last time he met in the cup. It's all a question of whether he starts or not. It's not the 12:30 game on Saturday. It's the 3 o'clock one. We might get wind of certain things. I'd be tempted to just take the risk anyway and Haaland and then just get on with my life and ignore leaks and things. But Haaland should be in the side, I think. But it all depends on whether he starts. You would imagine he would, even though the game is sandwiched between key European games.
Yeah, it's a tough one. The nicest looking fixture of the week, sandwiched between Real Madrid twice. It's a tough one. I think, though, similarly to what I said about Liverpool, like Man City, don't they have the worst goal difference out of the three?
Ooh. So now you're saying something.
So it's not just a matter of can they beat Luton without Haaland, it's can they get a big win, because that's important at this stage. They're already slightly behind on points and they're behind on goal difference too. So, yeah, and if Haaland has looked a little bit rusty recently, I think I don't know, maybe this is bias speaking, but if I'm Pep, that's why I would start him. But for those reasons, and then take him off at some point, maybe.
Yeah.
Just get the win, get a few goals racked up, and then think about Real Madrid. And in which case, he's whole, and he's justified the armband at that point. But I looked into his record since game week 12. He's only once ended on more than 8 points.
Okay.
And a decent amount of that was his injury, of course, but. A lot of it was just sort of ticking along with, you know, okay scores. Mm. Not disasters, but not holes either. Mm-hmm. But that Luton defence is there to be got at. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on a previous video, I was listening to Five Live and Andros Townsend was on, and he was just talking about how Man City attack is the worst he's faced. Sorry, the worst from his point of view he's faced, is the toughest he's faced this season so far. Out of all of the sides, Arsenal, Liverpool, etc., he just felt that they just could not get a look in. They couldn't get the ball off them. They couldn't beat them at all. And he didn't sound too optimistic about Luton's chances this time around. So, yeah, I think, you know, on paper, he is the best one. And so that's why he's deservingly in our picks here. Next name is Tony. He's 8.1 million. Obviously, was out for the first half of the season for disciplinary reasons. But he's got 3.7 points per match so far this season that he's played since he's been back. He's in getting on for 1 in 10 teams, 9.2% of teams, and he's got that Sheffield United game at home. Once again, another auction, but Brentford have strong fixtures for the duration of the season. You would imagine he would play. I understand that, I think I've got this right, that he didn't start the last game, and it was tend to be a bit more precautionary, and it was with an eye for getting him sort of more match fit, more sort of ready for these final games. So that's why he was rested. So it seems likely he would start this one, I would imagine.
You'd think so, yeah. He sort of his minutes were limited. He was goalless in the 7 before that. So, you know, he's in the same way that we said Gabriel was form over fixtures, this might be fixtures over form. But this is certainly the fixture for him to get back on track.
Yeah, definitely. And the final forward I'm going to recommend, and this is personal bias, it's a player I really admire, Chris Wood. Although I've scuppered myself really because I couldn't actually find a picture of him in a Nottingham Forest shirt and in time, so I've got a Burnley one, and I've used a sort of a white square to remove his offending Burnley logo there for Nottingham Forest fans. I do like Chris Wood though. 4.9 million, 4.3 points per match, which is great for his value. He's in absolutely hardly any teams, 1.9% of teams. And his matches at Wolves at home. I often joke on Twitter, put a picture of me encased in Wood up whenever he scores. But he's no more. He's not a joke when it comes to scoring. He is good, and he's been good for a number of years for multiple teams. Your team? No, has he played for Newcastle? Yes.
Yeah.
He's played for my team, Brighton. He's played for Newcastle. Most famously at Burnley as well. But he's scored 12 for the campaign so far. And this is the fifth season that he's scored 10 or more goals. So for a striker in five seasons in recent years to score double digit hauls, you know, that is something you've got to notice. I mean, he is the goal scorer of recent years. And I think he's got the most headed goals, or something like that, in the Premier League, something like that. But nevertheless, yeah, Chris Woods, if you're going for a 1 week punt, he's at home. He scores a lot. Good player to get in, I think.
Yeah, I think he's probably the answer to a lot of quiz questions if people try to catch you out. Who's the only player to have done this? Who's the only player to have done that? It's Chris Wood, who's very underrated, as you say. Like it does sneak under the radar. He scored in 4 successive matches. This could be 5.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good, cheap options in every position this season. But up front, the likes of him and Muniz, good cheap forwards. And he, as you say, has a good fixture this week.
Indeed. Well, thanks a lot for your thoughts on those picks, Mark. Good luck with whatever transfer decisions you make. Have you got any particular transfers in mind, or are you going to hold this week?
I've got 2 free transfers.
Ooh.
And I know that I don't have any Liverpool defence and only 1 Arsenal. And I'd quite like 8 Nuri as well. But the Liverpool one's a bit tough because it depends what Klopp says on who's coming back.
Yeah, I've got Kelleher. I'm expecting Alisson back, so I'm all ready for that move. Van Dijk would be probably the safest pick. Ben White or Saliba, if you don't own them in for Arsenal, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But they all cost a bit.
Money thing. Thing is, though, I've still got Hwang Hee-chang.
Right.
A while back, and it sounds like he might be back for the double.
Ooh, okay.
So really, He'd be a nice way to raise a bit of money to downgrade him, but also he'd be a great differential.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, isn't it? There's lots of good players to get in, lots of good moves we can make. But at the same time, for me with my team, it's a lot up in the air. So I'm probably going to hold a transfer this week because I'm not free hitting in 34. But so many people will be free hitting in 34. That that's why for them, they're probably eyeing up a lot of the players that we've already mentioned. So I hope we've been of use to you there. Good luck with those transfers. Good luck, everyone watching. Do press that like button. Do remember to subscribe and do keep watching. We've got plenty of more videos and podcasts coming for the rest of the week, particularly team news with Neil on Friday. Thanks a lot for your time. Mark, see you soon.
Good luck.